Did he get a hearing there?
Nobody. Jackie Teer thought this was a better speech than the one I gave to the legislature. And she said this one had some pizzazz and some heart, and so whereas the one I gave to the legislature was dull and boring. So this was not not John Teer, but her his wife, Jackie.
Did anybody get up and give you the raspberries?
Oh, yeah. They interrupted my speech. They booed, they hissed, they yelled, and so on and so forth at different times, mostly in the question-and-answer period, because my sense of it is when I was giving this, they kind of listened in a sullen sort of way. But at one point in time, somebody wanted to make a speech, something like that, and to shout me down, whatever. And I said, look, and I had the microphone, so I could make more noise than any of them, you know. And I just said, look, I'm the Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. I worked my ass off to get where I am, and I've got the microphone, and I'm entitled to speak because I'm here, and I am where I am. Someday you get to be the Chief Justice, you can have the microphone. You know? And candidly, I went nose to nose with him, and I thought that came off all right. I mean, it was one of those things where
was this a nighttime group?
It was an afternoon thing. It was like about 4 in the afternoon, 3, 4 in the
afternoon. I don't know where I was during this period, but I have no record.
Well, you missed some of the fun.
Well, I did.
You missed some of the fun. Anyway, I thought this was pretty good stuff. This was the best I was able to do, and I look back at it, and I say to myself, well,
it's worn pretty well.
It's worn well in terms of how it came, to, you know, things that have come to pass since then. I reread this Law Day speech that I was just reading to you a moment ago, and about the problems with civil government and its limitations. And I think to myself, hey, those words still have value. As obviously de Tocqueville said much the same thing. And I think of it in terms of our current economy, and you know the fact that we're looking at the recession of 1991. People say, well, what happens if we have another depression? I read somewhere recently that somebody took a survey and said that over 50% of the American people are currently expecting a downturn in the economy on the magnitude of the Great Depression. Now, when you get that spinning in your head and think that people no longer expect prices to go up, they no longer expect that you can buy a house for $50,000 or $100,000, it's going to be worth $150,000 and $200,000 and $250,000 down the line, no longer think that if I'm making $40,000 this year, I'm going to make $44,000 next year and $48,000 the year after, and I'm going to plan on this continued increase in personal revenue. But are starting to think in terms of, I buy this house and it's going to be worth less. I take this job and I'm going to make the same or less in the future. If those are the expectations of people, you can imagine what's going to happen. Let me just finish this point because I think it's important in terms of this speech. The difference between 1990 and 1930 is that in 1930 the government had not guaranteed the economy. But in 1990 the government has guaranteed the economy. Think about it. The full faith and credit of our government stands behind FHA loans, guaranteed student loans, all kinds of FDIC, the SL, whatever it is, the DIC, that the Savings Loan Deposit Insurance Corporation. They're saying in the newspapers today that the FDIC only has about enough money to last another year with the number of bank failures that are expected.